إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His aid and ask His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our sins, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is in ourselves. من يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide him. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. And whoever Allah chooses to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and he has no partners. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I also bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the worship of Allah and his final messenger. أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله. Thereafter, the best of speech is the book of Allah. وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها. And the most evil of affairs are those matters which people have introduced into Islam. فإن كل محدثة بدعة. For indeed every newly innovated matter is a bid'ah. وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And every bid'ah is misguidance. وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every misguidance only leads to the fire. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O people of Iman, have taqwa of Allah, fear Allah as He ought to be feared, and do not die except in a state of being Muslims. Ibadallah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He sent His messengers, bilbayyinati walhuda, with evidences, proofs, and with guidance, so they can guide the people away from darkness, out of darkness, and into light. Guide the people out of the darkness of ash-shirk and al-kufr and al-dalal, misguidance, to the nur, to the light of at-tawheed wal-iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed the divine books to His messengers. He taught them knowledge. He taught them wisdom. And He aided them with signs and miracles. Like Allah Jalla fil Ula said about His messenger, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا. He is the one who was sent amongst the illiterate people, either Arabs of that time, who did not read or write, and for this reason they were called Ummiyin. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also Nabiyun Ummi, an illiterate prophet, meaning he could not read, neither could he write. So Allah sent this messenger from amongst them. Why? يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. So he can come and recite the ayat to them. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And purify them. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And so that the Prophet can come and teach his people knowledge and wisdom. And because ash-shirk is the most severest of sins, therefore the greatest of the messages and the greatest call was the call to at-tawheed. And for this reason, every single prophet and every single messenger called to at-tawheed. Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ. We did not send a messenger before you, O Muhammad, any messenger who came before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا. Except that we reveal to every single prophet and messenger who came before you that there is no deity worthy of worship except me, except Allah. Fa'budun. And therefore, worship me. The meaning of fa'budun, worship me, is upon at-tawheed. Ayyuwahidun. My beloved brothers, this tawheed which we speak about at the beginning of every single khutbah, whether it is a sermon of fiqh, a sermon of rulings, ahkam, whether it is an admonishment, we always begin by speaking about at-tawheed. Why? Because the status of at-tawheed, its affair is great with Allah Azza wa Jal. And ash-shirk, the danger of shirk is severe. And therefore it isn't appropriate that any person should be negligent regarding at-tawheed and negligent regarding the dangers of ash-shirk. Because this was the responsibility of every single prophet and messenger. And therefore, whoever attaches importance to at-tawheed and warning against ash-shirk, then he is fulfilling the responsibility which the prophets and the messengers came with. Ayyuhal ikhwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He told us about the stories of the prophets and the messengers who came before us. And in the previous sermons, we have been talking about their stories and the lessons that we can take from their stories. And no doubt, the stories of the prophets and the messengers contain lessons, signs and benefits for those people who read their stories from the Quran and learn their stories and contemplate and think about their stories. And Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, that in their stories, the stories of the prophets and the messengers, is a lesson or a sign, لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, for the people of intelligence. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى, the stories which are mentioned in the Quran are not like the fictional stories or the myths which are made up and spread amongst the people. And Allah said, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ, we relate to you, we inform you of the best of the stories. بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ, according to what we have revealed in this Qur'an. Ibadallah, from the great stories which Allah has revealed to us, which contain many benefits and lessons for the person who thinks and contemplates, is the story of Nabiullah, the Prophet of Allah, Shu'aib alayhi salam. And Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, He said regarding him, كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَةِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, that أَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَة, this group of people whom Allah called أَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَة, they disbelieved or rejected or lied against the messengers, i.e. Shu'aib alayhi salam. And Ashabul Aika means the people of Al Aika. And Al Aika was a tree which the people used to worship at that time. So because of them worshipping other than Allah, this tree called Al Aika, Allah sent the messenger. In another ayah, Allah said, Wa ila Madyana akhahum Shu'aiba, to the people of Madian, we sent their brother Shu'aib. And Madian is a place now in Saudi Arabia, to the north of Medina towards Jordan, and it is near the city of Tabuk. And the Mufassirun, they differed that Shu'aib alayhi salam was he sent to two different people. One were called Ashabul Aika and one were called Qawm Madian, or were both these names for the same tribe? So some of them said, some of the Mufassin said, these were two different groups of people. First, Allah sent Shu'aib to Ashabul Aika, and then when he had delivered the message to them, then he went to the people of Madian. However, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he mentions that both of these names refer to the same group of people. Ashabul Aika, they are Qawm Madian. Because Ashabul Aika refers to the action which they used to do. i.e. the worshipping of the tree Al-Aika. And as for Madian, it refers to the place in which they are, on the coastline of the Red Sea, near Tabuk, towards the north of Saudi Arabia. However, ala kulli hal, this isn't important. Because had it been important, then the Quran would have given these details. But what is important is, what was the message that Shu'aib alayhi salam came with to his people? And what were the sins that the people were doing? So we can know these sins and avoid these sins. And if we avoid these sins, then maybe the punishment which came to them will not befall upon us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned the story of the people of Madian or Ashabul Aika, i.e. the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam. And He mentioned their sins. He mentioned two specific sins that they used to commit. Allah said in Surah Hud, وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا, to the people of Madian, to this place, we sent their brother Shu'aib, i.e. as a messenger. قَالَ يَا قَوْمُ, he said, O my people, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ, O my people, worship Allah alone, you do not have any deity besides Him. وَلَا تَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ, and do not cheat the people in your measurements and your scales, in how much you weigh. Meaning, do not cheat the people when it comes to trading, buying and selling. إِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ, I see you upon goodness. You have wealth. Allah has given you prosperity. Why do you need to worship other than Allah? Why do you need to cheat the people in selling, buying and transaction and trading? وَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ, and I also fear upon you, عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ مُحِيطٍ, a punishment, a day in which the punishment will surround all of you, will encompass all of you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this noble ayah, He mentions the two sins for which Shu'aib alayhi salam was sent to the people, for which the punishment of Allah would come upon those people if they did not change their ways. The first is, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, worship Allah. Meaning that the people, they were committing shirk. And what is a shirk? صَرْفُ الْعِبَادَةِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, directing your worship, any act of worship, doesn't matter how big or how small it is, to other than Allah. So whoever supplicates to other than Allah, then he has fallen into a shirk. So whoever supplicates to other than Allah, then he has fallen into a shirk. Whoever slaughters in the name of a wali other than Allah, then he has fallen into shirk. Whoever seeks rizq, seeks provisions, seeks a child, seeks a cure from other than Allah, then he has fallen into a shirk. Whoever takes an oath, a qasam, a half, a vow by other than Allah, he has fallen into shirk. Whoever hangs an amulet, a ta'weedh around his neck, thinking that this ta'weedh or this tamima can help him or protect him or protect his child from evil eye or bad luck, then he has fallen into shirk. Whoever ascribes ilmul ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen, to other than Allah, to any wali or any murshid or any nabi or any angel, then he has fallen into shirk. So a shirk is the most severest of sins. The first matter which invalidates a person's Islam is a shirk. Allah does not forgive a person who dies upon a shirk. Perhaps Allah will forgive the person who drinks alcohol, even if he did not make tawbah, and he dies upon a tawheed, then perhaps Allah will forgive him out of his mercy. Perhaps Allah will forgive a person who oppresses other people, but the right of the people remains. Perhaps Allah will forgive an adulterer and an adulteress who die upon a tawheed. They haven't committed shirk. Maybe Allah will forgive them. But the person of shirk is not forgiven. And how strange this is. That if in our community there was a person who drank alcohol even once, then the whole masjid would rise against him. And if we found out that there was a person who was committing adultery in the whole of our town, a single person, then the whole masjid would rise up against him. Or if we found a Muslim, may Allah protect us, drinking alcohol, it would be a big thing. And yet the ummah is falling into shirk and people are shy to speak about it. The whole of our town, except whom Allah has mercy upon, is falling into shirk, and yet nobody says anything. Nobody bats an eyelid. Nobody speaks. Nobody writes. In fact, people are shy. And they say, oh, is that the only thing you're going to talk about? At-tawheed, at-tawheed, and at-tawheed. You're always going to warn against a shirk. So this is a strange affair. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, to emphasize this point, من لقي الله لا يشرك به شيئا دخل الجنة. Whoever meets Allah, not having made shirk with him, then he enters into Jannah. Eventually he will enter into Jannah. Either Allah will totally forgive his sins, or perhaps the difficulties of this dunya will expiate his sins. Perhaps his supplication and his tawbah will forgive these sins. Or maybe he will be punished in the grave for a while and then he will enter into Jannah. Perhaps he will be punished in Jahannam, na'udhu billah, for a while, but he will enter into Jannah. وَمَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ يُشْرِكُهُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. However, whoever meets Allah, having committed shirk with him, a single act of shirk, دَخَلَ النَّارِ, then he will enter into the fire. Straight away, for eternity, never coming out. And for this reason, the first thing which Shu'aib alayhi salam called his people to was what? At-Tawheed. He said, Allah said, وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا, to the people of Madian, Allah sent their brother Shu'aib. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ, he said, O my people, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, worship Allah alone, مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ, you do not have any other deity besides him. And then the second thing, or the second sin, the second reason for which Shu'aib alayhi salam was sent to his people, is because they used to cheat and fraud the people in their buying and their selling, in how much they used to promise and how much they used to weigh. And so Shu'aib alayhi salam came to his people and ordered them with fairness, with justice, with being truthful and honest in our business dealings. He said, وَلَا تَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ, do not bring short the weighing and the scales and the measures of that which you're dealing with the people with. So look at this affair. Look at this thing. That this might be something which is considered very little in front of the people. 100 grams, I'll just reduce, I won't tell the person. I'll make a profit of a pound upon the person. And yet with Allah it was so severe that firstly he sent his messenger to correct this thing. And he sent the punishment upon the people because of this. Because of dishonesty and being fraudulent in dealings and trading. And in another ayah, Shu'aib alayhi salam, when he came to the people, he said, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ بَيِّنَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, O my people, O people of Madian, O you who are fraudulent and cheating, verily there has come a bayyina, clear proof to you from my Lord. فَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِكْيَالِ, so be honest, fulfill the measurements and the weighing. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ, and do not defraud the people in their merchandise and that which you are selling them. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and do not cause corruption upon the earth. بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا, when it has already been rectified. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, this is better for you if you are truly believers. So Shu'aib alayhi salam, he warned his people against this thing, that cheating and being fraudulent in transactions and dealings and interactions is not from the characteristics of the mu'mineen, of the believers. And therefore, two things which have been mentioned in this ayah, i.e. at-tawheed and being honest in our dealings, both of these things, they show an example or symbolize all of Islam. Meaning by worshipping Allah alone, You are fulfilling the rights of Allah, حقوق Allah. And by being honest with the people in your trading and your interactions, you are fulfilling the rights of the rest of the creation. And this is Islam. Islam is fulfilling the rights of Allah and fulfilling the rights of all of creation. And Shu'aib alayhi salam, he said to his people, he tried to appeal to his people. He said, Baqiyatullahi khayrul lakum. That which remains from Allah is better for you. In kuntum mu'mineen, if you are truly believers. Wa ma ana alaykum bihafidh. And I am not a protector over you. I, he said to the people, that if you deal with the people with honesty, and you are truthful, and you don't make that extra bit of profit, then that which will remain behind, which Allah has permitted for you, this is better for you. There is more blessing in this. And there is no need for you to fraud the people or shorten the people in that which you give them. Rather, fulfill their rights in terms of trading, buying and selling. In kuntum mu'mineen, if you are believers. Meaning, if you are truly believers in the reward of Allah. And if you are truly believers in the punishment of Allah. If you truly believe in halal and haram, then fulfill all of this. وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظٍ. And I cannot protect you. Me as a prophet, my job isn't to come and to approve of your sin, and then I protect you. Rather, I only come as a muballigh. I only come as a person who conveys the message of Allah. The message of Allah. And He is the one who protects, and He is the one who punishes. But what was the reply of the people? How did his people respond? قالوا إنما أنت من المسحرين. Said, you are a person who is bewitched. You are a person who has magic done upon him. وما أنت إلا بشر مثلنا. You are a nobody. They belittle him. You are a nobody. You are only a man like we are. وإن ظنك لمن الكاذبين. And we know for sure, according to them, that you are from the liars. Then they had the audacity, the jur'ah, to challenge him. They had the jur'ah or the audacity to invite the anger of Allah upon themselves. They said, if you are truly a messenger, if you are a prophet from Allah, فَأَسْقِطْ عَلَيْنَا كِسَفًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. Then bring upon us a piece of the sky. Let a piece of the sky fall upon us. إِن كُنْتَ مِّنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. If you are truthful. So this is the jur'ah. This is the audacity they had against the threat of Allah and against the messenger of Allah. The first they belittled him. They mocked him. They humiliated him. And then they invited the wrath and the punishment of Allah upon themselves. Na'udhu billah. However, Shu'aib alayhi salam, he tried to convince them. And this is a point which is very important. Note, he tried to convince them. So in our da'wah, this is how our da'wah should be. That we appeal to the people. We try to convince the people. Not mere bullying or putting people down. Rather appeal to the people, appeal to their hearts, appeal to their logic. Use the various avenues. He said, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ. He said, oh my people, أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كُنْتُ عَلَىٰ بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Stop and think. Just perhaps, have you ever thought that maybe I'm upon the truth, I have come with the proof from my Lord. Despite all of this mocking and this audacity, he said to the people, he appealed to them, said, just stop and think for a short while. Maybe, just perhaps, I have come with an evidence from my Lord. Perhaps I am truthful in that which I am saying. I am only warning you against shirk. I am only calling you to honesty. And yet there is a severe punishment. So just think for a short while. إِن كُنْتُ عَلَىٰ بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّ أَرَأَيْتُمْ. Do you think maybe just there's a possibility that I am upon the truth and maybe a punishment will come upon you? And then he said, وَرَزَقَنِي مِنْهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا. And my Lord has already given me the provisions. I don't need anything from you. I'm not asking for authority. I'm not asking for money and wealth from you. I'm only telling you the message of my Lord. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. And look at me myself. I do not do that which I am warning against. I don't contradict my own message. And then he said, announcing his at-tawheed, he said, "In uridu illa al-islah mastata'tu." The only thing which I want is rectification. As much as I have the ability, I only want to rectify you, O my people. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And my tawfiq, my success and my guidance is only with Allah. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. Upon Him I depend and rely. وَإِلَيْهِ أَنِيبُ. And to Him I return. The Mufassirun, like a Sheikh Sa'di rahimullah, he mentions that when Shu'aib alayhi salam told the people that, "Look at me, my Lord has already given me everything, and I don't contradict my own statement." It's a type of self-praise. It contains a level of self-praise. Like a person is saying that, "I conform to my message, I'm not doing these bad things." It's as if a person, or it contains a self-praise. So because of this, Shu'aib alayhi salam, he then mentioned the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that the provisions have come to me from my Lord, and I don't do the bad sins which you are doing. I don't contradict my message. And all of this, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. All of this is from Allah. All of this guidance and this success, it is from Allah. Meaning the goodness which I have in myself is not from me. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. I have no power, no might, no ability apart from Allah. And this is how a person should be. That any good that a person finds himself in, doesn't need to mention it, doesn't need to show off. Rather ascribes it back to Allah Jalla fil Ula. He said, "Alayhi tawakkaltu." Upon Him I will rely. I don't need to depend upon anybody else. "Wa ilayhi anib." And to Him I will return in my worship. He mentioned two things: at-tawakkul, dependence upon Allah, and al-inaba, I turning to Allah in worship. The ulama say that these two things are the secret of al-Islam, the treasures of al-Islam. Of a person's aqidah is the worship of Allah and seeking the help of Allah. If you seek the help of Allah and you worship Allah, then this is al-Islam. For this reason, Allah ordered us. He said, "Fa'budhu wa tawakkal alayhi." That worship Him, ay Allah, and rely upon Him. And we say every single day in Surah Al-Fatiha, "Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in." You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help from. Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he said, "Sirrul Quran al-Fatiha." That the secret or the treasure or the essence of the Quran, it is Surah al-Fatiha. And then he said, "Wasirrul Fatihati iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in." And that the essence of Surah al-Fatiha is this single ayah, "Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in." You worship Allah, then you seek the help of Allah in worshipping Him. You fulfill His commandments, and then you rely upon Allah to guide you to fulfilling His commandments. So this beautiful way in which He would call His people, these nice manners, appealing to their hearts, appealing to their minds, not replying back to them, not swearing when they swear, not mocking when they mocking. But what was the reply? فَكَذَّبُوهُ. They displeased in Him. They rejected Him. And then Allah said, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا. And when our affair came, meaning when our punishment came, نَجَّيْنَا شُعَيْبًا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنَوا مَعُهُ. We saved Shu'aib, and not only Shu'aib, every person who had iman in Shu'aib, we also saved him. This shows us that the salvation from the punishment is in practicing the sunnah of the Prophet who was sent to you. Al-istiqama, being upright upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is an-najat. This is safety in this world and in the hereafter. Bi rahmatin minna, due to a mercy from ourselves. Wa akhadhatil ladhina zalamu sayha. And as for those people who had zulm, who were oppressive, who used to cheat the people, were dishonest with the people, and they're buying and selling. Akhadhatum as-sayha. Then the loud scream, the awful scream it took them. Meaning a sound came from the sky, and it was a screaming sound, and it took them. فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. And then they became like dead bodies in their houses. They froze up, and they were preserved like that. They couldn't do anything. And when, or before this, when they had the audacity to challenge Shu'ayb alayhi salam, when they said to him, فَأَسْقِطْ عَلَيْنَا كِسَفًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, if you're from the truthful people, send a piece of the sky upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before this main punishment, He gave them a sign. Allah says in the Quran, فَكَذَّبُوهُ, so they disbelieved in Him, فَأَخَذَهُمْ عَذَابُ يَوْمِ الظُّلَّةِ, the punishment of the gloomy day, يَوْمِ الظُّلَّةِ, it overtook them. Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he mentions that this was an event in which for 7 days there was severe heat upon the people. The sun was very, very warm for 7 whole days, and there was severe heat upon these people as a sign to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent a gloomy cloud over all of them. And this is Yawm al-Dhullah. The dhil, they will go under the shade of the cloud from this heat. So because they asked for a sign which was a fragment of the sky to fall upon them, then Allah sent at the hands of Shu'ayb alayhi salam this sign, that there were 7 days of severe heat and then a cloud came, and they would seek shade under this cloud. This was a sign for them, that look, this sign has come to you now. This is what you wanted. But فَكَذَّبُوا, they disbelieved and they rejected Him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent this punishment upon them. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. أيها الأحبة, the main thing from this story and these stories of the Quran is what are the lessons which we can draw for our lives, for the lives that we are living in the time and the place in which we are living. And the first lesson is that Islam has come to fulfill the rights of everybody, the rights of Allah and the rights of creation. For this reason, Shu'ayb alayhi salam, when he came to the people, he ordered them with at-tawheed, which is the right of Allah. And he also saw a mistake, that they were oppressing each other. They were not trading in honesty. And so he corrected this mistake. And this is what Islam has come with. Islam is the only religion which is like this. It has mentioned in detail the rights and responsibilities of every single, not only person, every single aspect of creation, and in various priorities. So we should not think like the secularists tell us, or the Islamic apologists tell us, apologetics. They say Islam is just for the house, or Islam is just for the masjid, or Islam does not have any place in the dawla, ad-deen wa dawla. They say there is the religion and there is the state, and Islam has no role in the state or in politics or economics or anything else. Rather, Islam has come and guided us to every single aspect of the dunya and the akhirah. Politics, Islam has spoken about it. Economics, Islam has spoken about it. Transactions, marrying, selling, rules of war, rules of jihad, prisons of war, everything Islam has spoken about. The second benefit is that ad-da'wah begins with at-tawheed. It begins with at-tawheed and it ends with at-tawheed. However, it isn't limited to only tawheed. Rather, we call to at-tawheed, and this is the core of the message. But at the same time, when we see other mistakes, other faults, areas of weakness and oppression, then it is upon the du'at and the Muslims to try to rectify these problems, even if it is something with regards to the dunya. From the benefits of this story is that the people of Shu'ayb, they were capitalists. And when I say capitalists, I mean they would do anything to accumulate capital, i.e. money and wealth. And this is a state in reality which we find the dunya. That even if the majority of the world is dying from hunger, as long as a small select group of people or countries are able to eat their food and live in nice places, then this is enough of a justification. As for Islam, then no. There's nothing wrong with Islam with a person owning property, a person owning land, a person having a good job, gaining wealth, but not at the expense of other people. Islam comes and it rectifies a person, rectifies the rest of society. From the benefits of this story is the saying of Allah, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Do not cause corruption upon this earth after it has been rectified. Corruption upon this earth is forbidden in Al-Islam. Any type of corruption. The biggest corruption is shirk and bid'ah. After this, other types of corruption, like selling drugs, it's a corruption upon the earth. Throwing litter upon the floor. Pollution is all types of corruption. So we have to take care of this earth which Allah has blessed us with, that Allah has lent us for a short while. From the benefits of this story, and we end with this, is that a person who is sincere in his da'wah, he doesn't need to raise his voice. He doesn't need to shout at the people. He doesn't need to respond to the people in the same way that they respond to him. He doesn't need to give nicknames to those people who give nicknames to him. He doesn't need to slander people when they slander him. Why? Because your confidence and your reliance is upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. And for this reason, when the people of Shu'aib came and they said, Musahhareen, innaka minal musahhareen, from those who have magic done upon you, minal mukathabeen, you are from the liars. They bullet him, you're only a man. They had the audacity to challenge him. What was his reply? Did he say, Antumul musahhareen, you are the ones who have magic done upon them? Did he say, Antumul majaneen, you are the madmen? Antumul mukathabeen? No. He said, قَالَ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. He said, my Lord knows that which you are doing. With complete confidence in Allah, he said, my Lord knows that which you do. I don't need to reply to you like you say to me. He said, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My success is with Allah. وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. And upon him I rely. وَإِلَيْهِ أَنِيبُ. And to him I return. So this is the response that is given. That there is no need for a da'i who is sincere in his da'wah to respond to those who oppress or slander or lie in the same way that they do. Rather, your success lies with Allah Azza wa Jal. Aqim as-salah.